But soon he will learn manners. I will torture his body so that his soul learns to be humble.
Okay, he know we just talking here, right? I mean, we just getting people interested in
Cage Against the Machine.
He said, use that in a sentence. And every time they tried, they just kept laughing. I was like, that's my point.
Yeah.
It's not a real word.
It's not a real word.
It's not a real word. And they were like, but isn't the point of hip-hop, like rappers, they should be able to make their own words up? I was like, yeah, but people sounded good when they did it. But when Corrupt did it, it's like, come on. Unexplanatory is not a word.
Unexplanatory.
Just like Raekwon said, natuary. It's not a word.
All right. Well, I mean, you know, I mean, I guess to each their own. So we gotta talk about the major subject. But before we do, we are Cage Against the Machine.
We are Cage Against the Machine.
We are. And I am one Dr. Jamil Kyle Akins.
Oh, he gave you the full government in transatlantic name in case you were thinking about discriminating him. I saw that post, by the way. That was interesting.
Yeah.
I am the sweet NBA.
Indeed he is.
God of memes. So many things that I do. We have so many announcements to shake up. Arthur co-host couldn't be here because apparently Google Calendar doesn't work. But we're here, and we're going to go through the fights. We've decided we're going to do a couple changes. Today's event is for UFC 226.
Seven.
We are going to talk about basically Dillashaw versus Garbrandt.
Indeed. And the greatest of all time, Demetrius Johnson.
I'm still like, why is that
Henry
not?
Henry Cejudo.
Why is that not the fight?
Well, you know why.
I do
the bad
know why.
Blood.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
We have decided, you know, we appreciate all 10,000 of you guys and you being part of this following. There's a lot of content we're putting out there that we're not getting paid for.
Yeah.
So we want to make sure that we're very clear about this, and we got some new shows coming, so we're being economic about our time. We're only going to cover the main card so you understand what you should really look for.
Right.
If you want to see the entire fights, you should go to our website, our blog post.
Yes, everybody at cageagainst.com.
Cageagainst.com. We also have some other shows that we're going to start doing and talking about, and I'll kind of veer off on that. As of today, I am 158 pounds.
Wow.
That means over the last 4 years, I have lost 102 pounds.
That is crazy, man.
So because of all the information that I've accepted and all the people in the ecosystem, I'm going to probably start doing a lot more content about how I got here and start interviewing other MMA fighters and martial arts about that. We'll build that out and talk about that. And then for a long time, there's so much arguments and debates that happen in our text messages after the fights that I feel the Cage Cousins
so
are
many.
Denied.
So many. Y'all don't understand.
So JK is going to bring back the infamous smelling salts so you know what to expect after these fights.
Definitely.
But let's clear the slate. There's so
Very
much
infamous.
That has happened in the universe of MMA. And starting off with, have you seen Ant-Man and Wasp?
I have. Several times, actually.
I love you for
that. By the way.
I need to see it tomorrow
By the
again.
Way. By the way,
yes.
If you check out an AMC theater,
yes,
and you look and you go into their new Dolby Cinema theater,
yes.
Oh man,
with the seats,
the chairs in that joint is bananas.
I saw someone get dipped out of one of them. That was great. However, a little too loud.
Are they?
I
the one that I sat in was silent as heck.
Yeah, well, because the speakers are right there by the head.
Oh, man.
But you're right. Dude, no, the seat was, like, so comfortable.
The one that I was in, it had to be close to 200 speakers in that thing.
Yeah, and you just
the floor was shaking.
Oh, man, I was chill. I almost fell asleep. It was so comfortable.
Man, tell me about it. Because I was like,
and for me, the biggest one is I can buy my seat ahead of time. I don't have to wait in line and fight with people. This is my seat.
Oh, man, it's beautiful.
Love it.
Yeah, where you literally pay for your seat.
And despite what a certain co-founder by the name of Josh Shia believes, Ant-Man and Wasp was a great movie, and I could not be more impressed with the jujitsu stylings of Hope Pym.
Man, she was...
When will she become strawweight champion? Because...
Probably...
Hope, if you're...
Sometime before Pollyanna Viana.
Right. Oof. Shots are fired early and clearly. So that was a great movie, and it kind of works in our ecosystem. Moving on from that, the great world of MMA has been shaken up by... three events that happened one possible event that have happened. The first one is kudos to original supporter of Cage Against the Machine, one double champ, light heavyweight, and
the champ,
Daniel Cormier.
Which we told you what was going to happen.
But did you see the first round knockout coming? I sure didn't.
I'll tell you this. If you read our blog post, Cage Cousins.
Actually, you did predict that.
I said that if this fight went to the clinch, it was curtains.
Yeah, I was too busy screaming and jumping on Deshaun's shoulders. Like, oh my God, did that really just happen? That was incredible. And it couldn't have happened to a better fighter. And I like that it's changing the game. The other thing that really has shook up the UFC and thing to think about, and, you know, we kind of talked about this a little bit. Anderson Silva has been exonerated by USADA.
He has.
In addition to him, three other fighters have been found exonerated from their flags and the compounding. And it begs the question, what more can we improve with this process? And I don't know if we have enough time, but we got to be very clear that – I'm a very big fan of USADA cleaning up the sport, but it's very clear there's still a lot of holes to
cover. I don't know if holes is the right word, because I'll tell you this. As someone who has actually been in that laboratory,
yeah.
What ends up happening is the people who actually test the blood never see names.
Right.
What happens is we get this vial that's about this long, and it is... on that vial is a 9-digit code. And the 9-digit code is the record number for each and every fighter.
Right.
The people in the laboratory do not know which 9-digit code belonged to which fighter.
Right.
Their job is only to test the blood that they're given and mark the results. They test it around in between 6 to 8 times to make sure that the result is consistent,
right.
And then they send it out.
Right.
Now, what I do think could be improved is maybe the United States Anti-Doping Association could hire an investigative laboratory.
Correct.
I think that's what they could do.
As well as I believe that the UFC needs to hire a marketing, because clearly their marketing is a weakness.
Okay.
They need to hire some interface between USADA and their, and to message this better.
Okay.
Because these are sound, they're essentially, and I would say that.
Well, I mean, can you really message it better? Because with science, it's either a yay or a nay.
But
there is no in between.
But remember where we live.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Not everybody here is trying to send rockets to the moon.
While I understand that, but like I said, the science is clear and concise. There is no gray area.
We're not a nation of scientists. And the point I'm trying to make is when we make these claims about people's careers, okay,
mm-hmm.
There is a ability to either make it innocent before proven guilty, or as we've seen in the case many times, guilty before proven innocent.
Well, that's because, again, the science is clear and concise.
Sure.
There is no gray area there.
No.
There is no gray area there. Either it is or it isn't. Either the blood tested positive or it did not. There is no in between.
Yes, but you need to message that. You need to talk about the difference between somebody who is working to cheat the system,
mm-hmm.
and somebody who you don't know what's going on yet. And there's
the problem with that. The problem with that stance is that it is not science's job to determine intent.
USADA is not science. And criminal science has been proven problematic all the times. Shout out to the San Francisco City and County 850 Bryant Investigative Lab, who had, what, 2,000 cases of tampered evidence?
Mm-hmm.
That's science. Science is not without politics and problems. All I'm saying messaging-wise, if you're going to sit there and say these people tested positive, we cannot also follow up with likely that they were cheating. We have to sit there and give them a due process. And I think we got to do a better – I think as a sport –
But how
and
can
fans,
you
–
let me ask
job.
You this question. How can you give what you would determine a due process in a black and white system? Science – And this is somebody who has been in the laboratory. I'm just telling you this just as a science, with no other issues, comments, complaints. For a guy like me who is sitting in front of the testing table, testing the blood, for me, all I see is if it's positive or if it's negative. How can you insert intent in that? You can't.
You can't, but you got to message it better. And I think this is one of those great fundamental differences of our opinions of why we get along. He is a scientist, so he believes science. He believes in narrative. Always is right. I'm a business person. I can hire somebody to come into the lab when he leaves. I can hack from a distance. So
luck
I
with that. Yeah, I see your point.
All I'm saying is, messaging-wise,
mm-hmm.
the message was Anderson Silva has been a habitual PED user, along with Junior Dos Santos, along with there was another guy, American too, who just got exonerated. The point is, we, as MMA journalists, because that's what you told me I have to be, I just thought I was somebody who's talking trash. I think we got to do
and
a better job.
Maybe in some cases you are.
Yeah, I think we just got to, all of us, do a better job of talking about these facts before we allow people's, because this effect, when we affect public opinion, mm-hmm. we affect economic confidence. And so okay. when we call people cheaters, they're less likely to buy a pay-per-view and pay these people because we're accusing them of cheating, rather than saying, hey, we've seen some things. We don't know yet. Let's wait. And now that the evidence is out and the testing is done, as we saw from USADA, we tested it, we went through, we found out, hey, this dude followed the rules he was supposed to and somebody else is at fault.
Then can I put this spin on it?
Sure. I like it. Hey, marketing.
Then why not, if you are the fighter, you have the resources to have those products tested before you use it. Just saying. Because you are a part of the protocol. You could go to any U.S. anti-doping associated office and say, can I have this particular product tested before I use it?
Because
they will do it for free.
Because they don't work that way. Because one of the things that you have to learn about American bureaucracies, and you and I know this.
They do work that way.
You can try, but instead they go, we have a form for you, and you should follow this form. These are all the things that we've told
right,
you can
right.
use.
But you can still.
Let me give you an analogy. It's not the same, but let me give you the example, the difference between how it should be and how it actually is. A family member of mine needed me to take over a property for them, okay, and deal with PG&E because they have trouble on the phone. I sent them 4 signed, notarized documents witnessed by a lawyer that I have authority.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, do you need anything else from me? Person on the phone was like, no, this should be great. Just send it to this email address. It'll be fine. I get an email back 3 days later. Why are you sending this to me? You need to fill out this form. Don't ever do this again. So there's clearly, as we've seen, I can look up at the screen right now and I see that one dude's got a black and white picture, one's got a colored picture. Somebody's not on the same page here at UFC. So I know America well enough to know that somebody's not on the same page at USADA. All I'm saying is the fighters are paid to fight. They're not paid to be marketing executives.
But this is not about marketing.
It is about...
about marketing.
You keep making it about science. It's not about science.
It is about science, because you can... And let me make sure I'm clear, Mr. Sweet. I'm talking to you as somebody who has worked in that laboratory.
But the laboratory ain't the one putting out the notices. It's a messaging thing for the 15th time.
Okay, I get the messaging, but you just made an argument about procedure.
Yes.
Which is my expertise.
I would bet money, cents on the dollar, there's nothing in their procedures that's about, hey, here's what we have to say about the fighter in the media.
That's not what I'm talking about. But that is what I'm talking about. Okay. But my point is, as a fighter, you are responsible for what you are putting in your body. So the least you can do. The least you can do is go to the laboratory and have the products tested.
But that's part of the protocol. If you've already done that and they said it's clear, you wouldn't have gotten off. If he had done something that was, if these five fighters or the multiple of more fighters who they're going to catch, who this is going to keep happening to.
Here's an idea. How about not using the products at all?
This is a deep one. But now we're going down a road where now we're splitting hairs.
Are we? I think that's clear. I think that's pretty clear. I think that's pretty black and white.
Because then,
either you use the products or you don't.
Right, but then now we're drawing a line. You can't use any products.
No, I'm not saying that you can't. I'm saying that if you choose not to run the risk, then don't.
Sure.
I'm just saying. And I want to make sure that I'm clear.
And next year, watermelon will be illegal because we found that it helps you hydrate, and that's illegal, and that's a performance enhancer. So now we're splitting that hair even
more.
Okay,
that's a little dramatic.
Let me
make sure that I'm clear. That's not a little dramatic. It's very dramatic.
You wait and see.
Okay.
You wait and see. There'll be a product. Watch.
Okay.
That's the tactic you're using. Can't use IV. Can't use this. We'll see.
They can't tell you not to eat fruit, though. That's what I'm saying. That's a little dramatic. I understand where you're going here.
Can somebody mark this on their calendar so when they start telling you what fruits and what places you could buy them from, you'll see. Next little concept that I wanted to talk about. Do I really want to talk? I just want to announce it.
Is it even worth the announcement? Because we already
Sauron's back.
Yeah.
Sauron is back.
White privilege strikes again. And I want to make sure that I am extremely clear because I do not mix my words.
But you do mix your martial arts.
definitely do that.
What does he mean by that? You can grab a dolly, throw it through a window, shatter the glass, which anywhere else in the United States is considered aggravated assault because of the way the glass breaks. You could cost four fighters their ability to make a paycheck that night.
And one, their career.
One, their career. And get off with 4 days of community service in New York City.
With no criminal record? Seriously?
I don't know much about the law. I'm not a lawyer like the rest entire of my family, but I just want to point out that New York State is also the only place where you can tape somebody on a phone call and you don't have to have their permission. Kind of like a lawyer who works for a president. I'm just going to point this out. So you can clearly throw a dolly through a bus and get off. So if you have enough money and success.
Yeah.
So New York lets you know they fell.
If it were me.
So we could see that light heavyweight fight belt.
Lightweight. Set,
that the night light lightweight belt in snafu for the next. I guess we're going to see that come back in October.
Yes.
And I'll predict that then. But then I guess we'll see what's going to happen with this free agency.
From what my sources tell me, by the way, the only snafu so far in that possible bout has been the money that Nurmagomedov is going to get. So right. When they work that out, I think we will see the official announcement probably within the next couple weeks.
Yeah, they just need to sign the contract. So that will happen. And then you got to figure out what to do with Ferguson. So they'll probably wanted to give Ferguson Alvarez, the winner of Alvarez and Poirier tomorrow. But who knows what's going to happen with Alvarez contract.
Right, because his contract is actually up after this fight, correct?
So here we'll see. It's interesting. Okay, so those are our announcements. That's the wild world of MMA. other announcements. I don't know if it counts as MMA, but I sure think it's funny and hilarious. Um, 50 Cent and Floyd Mayweather are having issues again.
I don't know what you heard about me.
Why is that relevant? It's not, but you want me to talk about it, so I've talked about it. Moving on. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be back with the main card of UFC 227. I am the Sweet NBA. I am with
the doctor, J.K. Akiens.
And we are Cage Against the Machine. Everything you hear, see, feel, and experience while you're on this podcast is brought to you by Regis Jefferson and Deshaun Davis at Dream Ear Productions. We are the premier show on the Dream Podcast Network, and we'll be right back at you.
Holla.
At your boy, girl, ex, or any pronoun you want to use. Peace. Black.
Looking at my Folex, it's about that time.
Folex. Folex.
That's what I said.
This Folex. Episode of Cage Against the Machine is brought to you by Folex.
Yes.
If you're looking for a watch and don't want to spend more than $3 and you are happen to be at the Ashby Flea Market, try out Folex, the watch that gives you more while always taking less. We are going to start with our main card. There are many other fights. I'm sure they're interesting, but you'll have to go to our blog for that. What we're going to start with is Thiago Santos versus Kevin Holland. Why is Dr. JK shaking his head? This, from appearance, looks like the worst Big Brothers, Big Sisters meetup I've ever seen.
Oh, by the way, yeah. Kevin Holland was on the Tuesday Night Contender Series.
Right.
Which is why his picture is black and white. They, for some stupid reason, they chose to do it the lazy way. Instead of just giving him a new photo, they decided to use the photo that...
Yes, right.
It's just, yeah, it's right. A little strange.
That makes sense, right?
I
that's
mean,
a smart...
I don't get it. You decide to put the fight on the main card without making it uniform.
Right, because, you know, when in history, you know, before have we ever, you know, separated people by color?
Why is that a good idea?
I mean, seriously.
What can we say about this situation? This used to be the top of the main card before the main event. Now it's at the very bottom, which is curious to me. This is
shouldn't even be on the main card in the first place.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, that Ice Cube quote, like, here's what they think about you.
Yeah.
Thiago Santos has, in my opinion, one of the best walkout songs in all of MMA history.
Which is?
One Love by Bob Marley. Hmm. You can't really front on that. And the fact that he does violence after listening to Bob Marley, which is such a unifying force, is really intriguing to me.
And tattooed Thor's hammer.
Well, let's not forget also...
Torso.
Let's not forget also Thor's hammer, a cross, a Celtic sun, and a Jewish Star of David. He either thinks he's bringing everybody together. This is a very confused brother. This is like the War of the Gods NASCAR fighter or something. You know, they all stake the claim on his back. Or he's a creative character. You know, when you're in UFC and you're just like, you know, I'm going to put tattoos that I want on here rather than tattoos that make sense. Or it could be the Brazilian version of those like, you know, those NBA players.
Yeah.
Who was that NBA player who was calling out Jason Lin, whatever, Justin Lin, Lin Sanity.
Oh, Jeremy Lin.
Jeremy Lin talking about...
It was Kenyon Martin, the number one pick of the 2000 draft.
Can you see how much basketball I watched? And he was talking about, like, yeah, man, you know, as an Asian, you shouldn't have dreadlocks. And then Jeremy very quickly was like...
Very barrier-like, I might add.
He was like, are those Chinese characters on your tattooed on your chest? What
and
do
we
mean?
Want to talk about cultural appropriation.
I can read them. Can you read them?
Yeah.
So, this is a make-it-or-break-it fight for Santos.
Indeed it is.
And also, as we've seen weekend after weekend for the last year, the business model of the UFC is to feed young up-and-coming talent, older big names, they have no chance of beating.
Or a chance to shock the world.
Yeah, but out of those scenarios, when have we seen the shock? When has the old guy come out on top?
Oh, I thought you were talking about the young guy.
No, I mean, I think the young guy, they just eat. I mean, Kate, look at last week.
Yeah.
Look at last week.
What happened last week?
Shogun.
Yeah.
Shogun
got murdered by Anthony
the same
Smith.
Way Rashad got murdered. I mean, these
Anthony
guys.
Anthony Smith just put them hands on
there's
Mauricio
no
Hula.
Reason these people should be in the ring together. But nobody wants to hear that.
And it's so funny. How long have I been talking about that?
From the inception of our relationship.
I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
Right.
And they continue to do it, and it's. And as time has progressed, it's gotten more brutal.
And here's the problem with it. Take someone like Shogun.
Mauricio Hua.
In age-wise, he's young.
Yes.
In fighting, he's young.
Ish.
In UFC,
yeah.
He's old.
Yeah.
Against a killer like Smith?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
Your reaction time. Let's just say skill, whatever. Reaction time against one of those kids. Is a bad idea.
Now, let me ask you this.
Yes.
How many times have I had this disagreement with people on this very podcast?
But that goes back to the purpose of our show is...
And it's just this simple.
We purposely bring people on the podcast who do not train, who do not fight, so that they ask the questions that our audience will start thinking about so they change their perception about how fights work.
Because I'm like, there is no way... There is no way that I would get in the octagon with a 24-year-old killer.
No, here's the truth of the matter. There are...
That's the bottom line.
Hey,
I'm 40 years old.
Right.
No way I'm getting in the cage with a 24-year-old killer.
I wouldn't get in... Would you get in the cage with somebody your same age?
I might, depending.
Depends on the money, but probably not, right?
Yeah, maybe not.
And if I fought somebody older, they're probably not going to fight. They're going to do something that's not part of the rules.
Right.
Because they need to live.
Right.
So it's just this model that it almost feels like an algorithm has been figured out back house that they're cleaning out old contracts and they're just going to feed young talent with old guys. Like they almost have it. So I do not expect this to go well for Santos.
Not even so much young talent, but it's been the young talent who are killers.
Who are killers.
And that is the part that bothers me.
It's like throwing the old wounded, like the old wounded cow into the pit of like raptors. That's not to say that Santos isn't a killer himself.
He definitely is.
If Holland is to win, he needs to kind of stay at his reach. He's got the reach advantage. He's got to keep Santos at the end of his punches. He certainly has to avoid the takedowns. And he could squeak it by. However, all that being said, I think Santos will win by decision, but will do nothing for his career.
Okay. Thoughts? I am actually going to take Holland to win this fight by brutal knockout.
Of course, because that's the safe money.
Yeah, I think that what Santos is going to have to watch for, and one of the things that Holland is very good at hiding, is the lead roundhouse to the head.
Right.
And he hides it. Extremely well.
Yep.
So and he's one of those guys, he's kind of, Holland is very similar to a guy that we talked about on this podcast earlier.
Right.
Curtis Melinder.
Right.
And he's very similar. And we saw what Melinder did.
Which was interesting because he couldn't shut Griffin down, but he did well. He did very good. That
Griffin
was nice.
is a grinder. So.
Yeah, yes. Sacramento stand up. Moving on to our next fight. You're going to have to help me with the accent on this one.
This is Pollyanna Viana Mota. Her nickname is Dama Jeferjo, which literally translated is the Lady of Iron.
Right. Versus J.J. Aldrich. And the first thing I have to say about this fight is previously on Game of Thrones.
Wait, why is that?
One of the Sands versus Sansa? Come on, I mean, Do I have to say this Viana by decision? Do I really have to spell this out?
Okay. All right.
Is this hard or?
No.
I have to explain why or?
No. For those who have not seen J.J. Aldridge or Pollyanna Viana.
Yes.
J.J. Aldridge, at least prior to coming into the UFC, was one of the most confident and explosive fighters I have ever seen at the strawweight division.
Yes.
But coming into the UFC, it is kind of the wind catching the sail has kind of changed a little bit.
Where did she come from?
She was in Invicta.
Correct.
She was in Invicta.
Is it okay? So you're a scientist. Let's put out a hypothesis. We're going to collect data over the next couple.
Okay.
The jump from Invicta to UFC has a make it or break it in a way that no other feeder league has ever been seen before.
Agreed. Agreed.
That you either have a star, like you see these champions who are dominant in Invicta and they come in to fight a champion in the UFC and it's like, do you know how to punch?
Right.
Like
right.
The learning curve is so high.
Right. I compare it to if I could make another analogy. Yeah. I compare it to the jump between college and NBA basketball.
Yes. Yeah, I could see that.
The jump is very similar.
Right. And by the way, let's point out, college basketball does not have some clause called a tune-up game. College football does. Which is why your alma mater plays something like Grambling.
I have fun with that game, though, because I have a lot of people that I know that go to Grambling and they like to clown. And I say, okay, well, we're going to see what happens on that gridiron. Good luck.
And meanwhile, I just sit there and charge people for parking. Oh, you want to use my driveway? Point being, but you know what I mean.
Brilliant idea, by the way. Brilliant idea.
Now, you know what I mean. Grambling ain't got no business being in that stadium.
No, they don't.
But they could if they had the same funding as a UC Berkeley.
Well,
right?
They actually do.
Do they? Do you think they have the same money?
They do.
Where's Grambling?
Where's
Grambling?
Since we're the number one public university, we get public funding. So
yeah, but look at your alumni. At your alumni.
Yeah, we do.
Your
we
alumni
do.
Grow food for people. Yeah. Your alumni start tech companies.
Yeah.
Grambling is a what? Historically
black college.
Okay, we're done with that combo. Thank you very much. Okay. Can't wait to hear from you guys.
And I already know after this podcast is done, oh man, I'm gonna hear it from some of my Grambling alum.
Yeah.
But that's okay. I mean, just know that Golden Bears rule and we eat tigers for breakfast. Anyway, moving on. Pollyanna Viana.
I would pay to see a bear fight a tiger.
I know, right?
Speaking of which, little known fact, I may have said this to you. Do you know why it's called a bull and bear market?
No, I don't. Why?
The history is, you do know, I taught you well, the history of North Beach in the gold rush in San Francisco is where the financial markets start, and what they would do to entertain people is have bears and bulls fight. So if you think about it, a bull dips down, then goes up.
Mm-hmm.
That's the market going up. Things are doing well.
Okay.
A bear swipes and goes down.
Mm-hmm.
Market is dropping.
Interesting.
So that's literally, it started, it's a Bay Area.
Is it NBA speaking, ladies and gentlemen?
Yeah, just that's the tour guide. That's like, I need to make some money. I'm going to walk you around North Beach and walk you right into the Fillmore Projects and rob you. No, okay. all right. So very evenly matched.
I actually don't think it's that evenly matched.
On numbers, if I just believe in numbers.
Okay, okay. Because in my opinion.
Yes.
Pollyanna Viana.
Yes.
Has the potential to be every bit as dominant as, wait for it, one Cristiano Justino, the one that they call Cyborg.
Oh, I'd agree.
Agree. And here's the interesting thing about Pollyanna Viana to me. The interesting thing about her is she has the striking skill of a Cristiano Justino.
Yes.
With the submission skills of a Ronda Rousey.
And also, she looks like a Kardashian. with a Brazilian accent.
I was just gonna say.
I'm telling you,
the face doesn't hurt either.
I see where they're going with this.
That is the reason why she's on this main card.
That's why I was trying to bring it up. That's why I was making the Game of Thrones show. I think they're bringing her. That's gonna be their new star.
Yeah.
I think they're cultivating that.
Yeah. And obviously they see the fighting potential in her. So they're like, if we can get the combination of her looks with her possibility to be dominant.
Right. And then
you've got your next global star.
Put you in the UFC Performance Institute and hire you an English tutor.
So remember, ladies and gentlemen, the name is Pollyanna Viana Mota.
So what's her nickname again?
Dama Jaferho.
I'm going to start calling people that on Bart. Moving on. Wait, did you make a decision? Do you think it's Viana as well?
I am going to take Pollyanna Viana by submission.
Okay. I thought she'd get a submission, but I don't know. I think she's going to be a little bit timid because now she's in the big leagues.
Right.
Moving on to our next fight. Cub Swanson versus
Renato Moicano.
Man, how can I describe this? First of all, Blood In, Blood Out 3, A Hipster's Happiness.
Wow. Okay. Okay. That might be a little bit too deep for the people in the back, though. So give us what makes this matchup interesting for you?
Stylistically, Cub Swanson is a savage boxer with really good wrestling. Mm-hmm. And as people we were talking about earlier, he has changed camps from Jackson Winklejohn to a Southern California camp, which is not a big surprise.
By the name of Training Lab.
I was about to say, it's not a big surprise because of the Southern California tattoo. But the leader of that camp is essentially, it's a rebuilt camp. The leader of it is TJ Dillashaw. And he brought in his old wrestling coach by the name of Mark Munoz. Why is this an important name? Mark Munoz is from a city off the side of the water that is the greatest, called Pacific Ocean, known as Vallejo.
Killing fools like Idaho potatoes.
Mark Munoz was a heavy, heavy favorite in the upper 185 division and was at Black House and was the wrestling coach.
The Filipino wrecking machine.
With Anderson Silva and Lyoto Machida and Kat Sagano. That's who I forgot. Kat Sagano. I almost got teary-eyed. Mm. I was so happy to see that.
Her win over
Man. Yeah. I was so happy to see that.
Yeah. It was a make-or-break win.
It really was. But she knew it too. And the way it was like, I can never, it's really hard to see this. It's like one thing to see her come back from such a traumatic brain injury and fight and you're nervous, but she looked better than she had ever fought before. And I was like, yes. So again, Munoz has done great things. So you have this camp that's building here that's really interesting. On the other hand, Moicano.
By the way, since we're talking about wrestling, we also need to mention the name of one Chael Sonnen, who was also there. And if we're just talking about wrestling, that is. Just saying.
I can't say his name.
Okay.
But I acknowledge that he exists.
Okay.
I'm still a little bit salty.
Okay. Okay.
Now, which side were you on in that beef?
I wasn't on any side at all.
I can't believe
it. I don't really pay attention to the whole beef part. It doesn't make any sense.
You just wanted to see the fight.
I just wanted to see the fight. That's it. You know me. I'm always about the fight and the fight on.
That wasn't where I was at.
Yeah. Yeah.
Especially if it was in Oakland.
Yeah. Yeah.
That was a moment. That was really a thumbprint moment of this sport.
Absolutely.
I think even Dana was like, "Really?"
Yeah.
This Brazilian, like, got...
UFC 117 was phenomenal. That was a phenomenal event.
You never knew there were so many Anderson fans before.
I did.
I'm being facetious, but the fact that he filled the Oracle and made it well, very Oakland Central.
But this is also the mecca of mixed martial arts.
Sure is.
So any mixed martial art event is going to sell. It doesn't matter. Well, except right. for maybe
Bellator. So what can we say about Moicano? Jiu-jitsu specialist, or is that stereotyping him because he's from...
No, it is not stereotyping him. As a matter of fact, one of the things that I looked at when looking at Moicano, I went back to... I was able to watch fights of his from present all the way back to 2012.
Wow.
And one of the things that I found, which was very interesting, is that he has become such a good Muay Thai practitioner
yes.
that at times he forgets he is an elite grappler.
Yes.
And that is some of the things that has cost him in a previous fight. Like, not saying any names, one of the guys that both of these gentlemen have in common, the common opponent is Brian Ortega.
Right. Who has finished them.
Now, interestingly enough, he finished both of them the same way.
Right. And which is also interesting, also a Southern California guy.
Right. And to me, that is the thing about Moicano, is that he has forgotten that he is an elite grappler.
Yes. I see, and I think Brain brought this up. You see these guys who are great grapplers, and then they get addicted to the knockout, mm-hmm. and they're like, that's all I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And you see the other thing. I see that a lot, where people who get a takedown, and they're like, that's all I want to do. And you're like, yeah, you got some hands, buddy.
Right. So. And see, with Moicano, because Cub Swanson is an elite striker.
Yes.
I think he is going to have to revert back to who he is fundamentally in order to get this win. If that's what he wants. Now, I am going to take Moicano by decision.
Okay.
But.
Interesting.
But I believe that is, I am only taking him with the assumption that he is going to revert back to who he was. And then you also have to train. You also have to think about this point. We don't really know who Cub Swanson is going to be this new camp.
But I think this will tell us what the later main event will be.
Absolutely.
And what the opportunity here is, for the background, Cub Swanson training with TJ means Cub Swanson now has access to Dwayne Bang.
Correct.
And Boss Rutten.
Correct.
Which I think could really bring back the boxing we love, but also see a level of kickboxing that is really exciting.
And that is what we're hoping for. That's but we don't know until the lights come on.
What's his name? We don't know. It ain't Ralph, though. Moving on. In my opinion, this should be the main event. We have had so many amazing moments in the last month. But I cannot state this enough. Demetrius Mighty Johnson is the greatest mixed martial artist of all time.
And it's not even close.
And he's going to fight next week. And you guys should pay money and watch it. He is going to face Henry the Messenger Cejudo.
For a second time.
How do I think this fight's going to go? The GOAT will stay the GOAT. Now, let me ask you this. How old are you, Henry Cejudo? Respectfully, because I know you listen to the podcast, and you told us. You listen, and you want us to make sure that we're respectful when we say this. Now, let me be realistic with you. You're 31. 31 in a karate class. Taibo, bro, come on. I've seen your striking. It's incredible. You've brought it up in a short time, but against DJ. Against DJ.
And also,
you've
not
got
only
four other striking arts you need to figure out in the next month.
Not well, shoot.
No, I'm talking about what his next fight after this.
Yeah,
when he moves up. Because
not only is he up against the greatest fighter
Tai
of all
Bo,
time,
bro. What you want to kick knowledge?
Yeah, he's also up against the greatest coach of all time.
Ooh, I'm not ready to go down that rabbit hole.
Okay,
but I would like to host a cage where we debate who is the greatest coach.
Matter of fact, Mr. Hume, if you are listening, we would love to have you on this podcast.
I would even...
Just to put a bug in your ear.
I would actually... yeah.
Because, I mean, I'm talking Matt Hume, Duke Rufus, you know, Winklejohn, Mark Henry.
Zahabi.
Faraz Zahabi. These are guys I would love to get on this podcast.
Nice. Incredible.
Oh, and we can't forget Eddie Bravo.
Yeah, yep. And then I guess if we're going to do that, I think we have to put Rashad and Hoof.
Yeah, Henry Hoof. Yeah, sure. Also,
and then of course,
maybe even here's a thought. Frank Mir, who is now the head jiu-jitsu coach at Syndicate MMA.
Yeah, and then also Javier Mendez.
Obviously.
AKA. And then I'm going to throw out a name that nobody's going to get yet. You'll get, but watch the next 2 years. Eugene Berryman. City Kickboxing Auckland.
I could see that. I like it.
You see the whole...
I like it.
You know, I mean, you've been feeling me about the New Zealand guys. When they start really... When the belts start moving hands and the dominance starts, you're going to go, what is that about? I guess the argument... And the thing about Hume, going back to it.
Also,
Hume is not
here's
only...
another one. Yeah. Here's another guy that I think... Hopefully he's listening. Former NBA player Deron Williams.
Yes.
So, Mr. Williams, if you are listening, we would love to get you on this podcast.
Yeah, and then...
Very knowledgeable about the fight game, mixed martial arts, what it takes to be in there. And it's... I guess I shouldn't be surprised because I am an NBA guy, and people are shocked about how much I know about mixed martial arts. And some people who are into mixed martial arts are shocked about how much I know about basketball.
You know who's a savage kickboxer?
Who?
Who used to be an NBA star?
Who?
Savage kickboxer.
Who?
Played for the Spurs.
Oh, Tim Duncan, yeah.
Have you seen him hit pads?
I have.
Have you seen him hit pads?
I have. Tim Duncan, yeah.
I ain't sparring with you.
Yeah.
Ever.
Yeah.
Not even in a juggernaut costume. Ever.
I could actually see him in a fight against Stephen Struve.
Dog, thank
that
God.
That would be interesting.
Like, thank all
you,
y'all.
You know what's funny?
Thinking that he went to the NBA.
You know what's
find
funny? You know what's funny? At the ESPYs, Rose Namajunas said, thank God these NBA players do not train mixed martial arts.
And I love that Rose was the star that all the NBA players were like, everybody wanted to meet her.
Yeah.
That was very cool.
Yeah.
That was very cool that she's... And the Nickelodeon Teen Awards.
That's because, man...
People feel her now, man.
Because that is... Because I've had a chance to, you know, to speak with Rose.
Yeah.
She's one of the kindest people in mixed martial arts.
Oh, Joe. Speaking of which, tangent. September 8th. Rodriguez.
Dun, dun, dun.
Zabit. Dun, dun, dun. Thank you, Fight Gods. Y'all will learn. Y'all gonna learn. You're going to learn today. Sancho eats
not tomorrow,
for
lunch.
For lunch. The thing, two other names of the coach.
Mm-hmm.
Matt Serra?
Definitely.
I'm going to throw out one more name.
Definitely
Don't
Matt
get upset.
Serra. Okay.
John Kavanaugh?
I wouldn't be upset about that.
Okay, fair. Matt Hume also, you have to go back and give him credit because he was an MMA pioneer.
Right.
And what people don't understand is his fight against Matt Hughes' coach, later coach, affected how we fight. Right? His ability to grab the legs and hold you down and hurt you.
Right.
Changed people's ability to grapple.
Right. And if I remember correctly, he was one of the first people, Matt Hume speaking of, who used the technique for putting the knee in the stomach and side control.
That's what I'm saying.
To hold someone
down. And just say, no, we're going to end this here. I mean, I guess you could call it, I wouldn't call it lay and pray, but I think one of the pioneers of understanding that you could use ground and pound without actually hitting somebody.
Right. And just for those who have never grappled or struck before who are listening to this podcast, imagine the feeling of you laying on your back and having somebody put a knee with their weight in your gut.
Well, you've had it. If you had an older brother and you've ever had that moment where you're wrestling, you're like, get off me, get off me. That's welcome to ground and pound. What can you say about this?
This particular fight?
DJ by fourth round KO?
I am actually going to take him by submission.
Against the wrestler. Okay.
I am going to take him by submission.
Did he beat him last time? Was it submission?
Knockout.
Yeah,
knockout. I think knee to the knee to the sternum.
Yeah, I think it's another knockout though. I think Cejudo is feeling his hands.
Mm-hmm.
I think he's going to do this linear blitz karate stuff.
And which is why I am taking by submission.
Got it.
Because okay. I think what people need to understand about Demetrius Johnson is Demetrius Johnson does not focus on what somebody else does well. He focuses on what he does well.
Right.
So what he does is he looks for the holes in your game
yep.
to exploit those.
I guess it's after the fact, so it's not dirt kicking. But I remember Brain and I were eating with DJ, and he was watching Uncle Creepy at 193.
Mm-hmm.
And he's like eating, and he's like, see, that's what happens when you don't have a clinch. You know, and I don't even know that. And I think it took him a minute when we're like, we looked over and we're like, well, how do you fix that? And I think he snapped out of like, oops, I'm not supposed to. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
His dialogue was coming out, but you could see like he's such a student of the game.
Yeah, his wheels are always turning.
He's watching.
Always.
So, and if you guys don't know about DJ, his highlight, he has arrived, but this guy has been able to do complicated moves like a back suplex. That in midair, he puts on a submission on somebody before they land.
An arm bar.
So the stuff that your favorite WWE pro wrestler practices to fake, he does in real life to people trying to kill him.
Now, I want to point something out to those who may be new to mixed martial arts or maybe those who are involved in mixed martial arts and watch but not necessarily a fan of Demetrius Johnson. This man hasn't lost since 2011.
Holler.
And the loss that he took was to Dominick Cruz in a weight class that he shouldn't have been fighting in the first place.
Holler. And has survived USADA. Now we come to our last fight. The, what's that phrase you have?
The main event of the evening.
Is it possible to auto-tune that, sir? I want to be relevant to the young kids.
Oh, no.
I took a Xanax before we did our podcast. I've dyed my hair multiple colors. I've made a song about how much of a gangster I am, and yet I got robbed and pistol whipped yesterday.
And he is thinking about putting a tattoo at the corner of his eye.
All over my face. I'm going to put different techniques of tattoos all over. It's going to be like left hook, takedown, you know, just... I want to be relevant
left
to the kids.
Hook right here.
Y'all know that.
Yep.
I asked Regis, I said, how do you relate? How will I relate to you? He said, play a MOBA. I said, what's a MOBA? 3 years later, I'm like, I don't think I'm going to be any good at this League of Legends thing. And I actually have to go to work. I have to make money. So I try. And seriously, though, I always work myself to make sure that I am not trying to relive my childhood, but I never want to be the old man who judges young people. I really love making
well,
sure that there's
me on the other hand. I will judge young people.
That's him. He's
until
that,
the cows come home.
And if you ever see the movie
some
Do the
of
Right
y'all,
Thing, that's you ever seen the two guys who sit in the chair in front of the
yep,
liquor store?
That's me.
Us. That's us. We're the black version of the guys in the balcony on the Muppets. I'm like, let the baby do what he want. JK over here like, pull your pants up. You're looking bad.
Okay. Yep. That is me, in a nutshell.
The next fight, our main event, is the battle. The bad blood battle for the Bantamweight Championship. One TJ, the Rattlesnake Dillashaw, versus Cody, no love for himself or anybody else, Garbrandt. I just can't. I simply can't. Now, I'm a little biased. If I fought, this would be my division.
I think I can make 135.
Jesus.
Yeah.
But I don't even think I can make 170.
And I'd have like, think about that. I'd have like a foot of range on people. And I wouldn't be dehydrated. I could do it easily.
Yeah, good.
If I stayed fighting, okay?
More power to you.
I'd be mean. But.
No, me, I don't even think
I can get to 205. The appearance of these two just makes me turn away. Like, it's just embarrassing sometimes. Like, when I go, hey, you guys, you should watch this fight. And then I look at these two and I'm like, but technically they're great. But then they open their mouths and I'm like, oh my God. The question this comes down to is one simple equation.
Okay.
Has Garbrandt evolved enough to bring in a new set of tools outside of his alpha male peers. By the way, shout out to my young homie, Hector, that I have raised since a young age. I remember when you asked, he was like, sweet. I was teaching him in high school, and he's like, do you know what mixed martial arts is? I was like, ooh. He's like, do you know who Fedor is? I was like, has Fedor been tested? He didn't even know what that meant. Now he knows. He went and recently switched up and started training at Alpha Male. And I expect some really incredible things for his record. So the question is, outside of Alpha Male, has Garbrandt brought up a new set of tools in his time at AKA Thailand?
And to that point.
And Tiger MMA.
Yeah, to that point, he did. He did go to AKA Thailand. But the problem is, that's not enough time to get it.
And that's just striking. Know. That's just striking. So the question is, does he have the other stuff? Now, what is he countering against? He's going to fight Dillashaw, and Dillashaw's going to have Munoz's wrestling, which is specialized at going against high-level kickboxers. Remember, we told you earlier, Munoz spent years in the gym with Anderson Silva and Lyoto Machida, two of the baddest men on the planet in their era, okay? Plus, he's dealing with Dwayne Bang kickboxing. You have kickboxing descended from one of the first butt-whippers. I mean, how do you put Boss Rutten in perspective for people who don't understand MMA? Here's how nasty Boss Rutten is. There was a time when MMA, UFC in its early days, was scary to like, it was in the same realm as hip-hop, where they would put regulations and they, like, hip-hop, they put a sticker on the CD and you'd have people burning it. They just pulled MMA off television. It was banned in most states. You couldn't even get a pay-per-view, right?
Correct.
And
correct.
At the last minute, they have this fight where they book Boss Rutten against somebody, and they say, you know, the censors have come, and they said, if you punch each other with a closed fist, we won't show this. So you got to do palm strikes. You can only hit with open hand. He still knocked them out. Boss Rutten is that dude.
Which I thought that was weird, by the way.
It was hella weird.
Because it was like, wait a minute, but boxers fight with
gloves. But they have closed hands, right, of course. And the glove is only, the thing about the boxing glove is to protect your hands, not to protect the person's head.
Exactly.
Boss Rutten has fallen off of a building, rolled, and went into a fight. This fool fought for many years with one arm shorter than the other because his body had atrophied. This fool is scary, but his combos, as a kickboxer, that's what it's supposed to look like. He is one of the progenitors of Dutch kickboxing, of power, and Muay Thai. And he is terrifying. His mind games. He's famous for tricking you into believing that you've hurt his leg. And then you go in for the kill, and he kills people. And so imagine him being that great heavyweight champion, doing all those things, right? And then, you know what, actually, you know who Namor is, guys? He looks like Namor. He looks like a European Namor. And then imagine him grabbing a kid at 12 and teaching him kickboxing after school when everybody else is teaching their kids, like, football. He's just training this dude 7 days a week, who is Dwayne Bang, who's an incredible kickboxer, who had a winning streak until he ran into a buzzsaw by the name of John Wayne Parr. So is that enough? I don't believe so. I believe Dillashaw will win by split decision.
Okay.
I've learned my lesson. I do not believe Garbrandt will knock out Dillashaw. I've paid attention. I've done my homework. Thoughts?
Well, normally, as we know, this is normally the part of the show where I go on this big, giant soliloquy.
And scream at Mikey Mo.
About, you know, the strengths and weaknesses of each fighter and how they match up together. That's normally where I do this. Yeah. But this equation is just simple.
Yeah.
Dillashaw is the better fighter than Garbrandt. It's point blank, period. There's no need to get caught up in all of this mouthing and whatever else you want to call it. I'm not sure. I don't know. The bottom line is Dillashaw is the better fighter. It's that simple. He is the better fighter. He will get Garbrandt in every... He is better than Garbrandt in every single area.
Yeah.
Including...
striking.
Oh, I wasn't going to say that.
I actually don't think they're too sharp, either of them.
And I'm not saying that because I'm smarter than most human beings. I just don't think either of these guys, the lights are turned on all the way. That's why I'm saying I can't.
Well, for Dillashaw, I can't get emotionally invested. For Dillashaw, the guy is sharp. I've spoken with the guy. He's sharp. You may not like him. You may not like him, but he's sharp.
Sharp in the Zach Morris way or sharp in the...
I have no idea what the heck that means.
Say by the bell?
I know who Zach Morris is, man. I'm saying I don't know what you're talking about.
What do you mean by sharp? I'm not trying to hate, but like...
Yeah, you are. Yeah, you are. Yeah, yeah.
I'm just saying, I'm not trying to hate, but...
Yeah, you are.
Okay, let me ask you this. Are you going to be challenged playing Sudoku with him?
Well...
Can he beat you in chess?
Maybe.
Can he tie his shoes? Maybe. Thank you. Don't say he's sharp. Don't insult me. Don't insult our genetic superiority by calling this man sharp. Come on, dog. I've seen enough of his shows. I've watched him talk. Come on, man. This dude needs Google Maps to find his driveway. Come on, bro.
Wow.
I'm not talking he's like blonde.
Now, if you were talking about Garbrandt, then I might be on your ship.
Garbrandt has just been hitting his head too many times.
Oh, is that what it is?
Yeah, man. He's got that. You know what it is? The same. Okay, let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
Let me put it to you this way. Eddie Alvarez.
Okay.
Not stupid, but not firing the way he used to.
Okay.
Right? That Philadelphia been punched too many times.
Okay.
Garbrandt, same area, same problem.
No, Garbrandt is not the same problem.
Same problem.
I can assure you that Garbrandt is not that same issue.
Sure. Garbrandt is not going to read Nietzsche on the weekends, but also... Garbrandt,
I can't even elaborate the way that I really want to.
So what you're
talking about what I know about Garbrandt for sure. Facts.
Let's just say that we would be more interested
mm-hmm.
in watching these guys at a spelling bee. That's what you're saying. I think we need to have them do at Olympics. An academic and athletic Olympics. Like before they fight, a 5-round fight. You know what I mean? Like, they have to do, like, some quadratic equations. Then they have to bounce a checkbook. Then they have to correct an essay without using spell check. Then they have to be able to find 48 of the 50 states on a map without labels.
Oh, man.
And then they need to be able to explain
See,
why, even though a tomato is a fruit, you don't put it in a fruit salad. And then the final competition.
Well, most people don't even know that tomatoes are fruit. I just want to point that out.
I don't pretend that everyone's as smart as me. The last one that they need to figure out is... What happens if you spell race car backwards?
Oh, boy. Just say it. Wow.
Just say it.
Listen.
Let's just accept I'm not athletically gifted like these people. I accept that. I don't think that I was born with the same genetic attributes that these two guys. They clearly are more talented than I am. But I'm not going to insult the individuals who understand how to close their mouth when they breathe by calling either two of these guys smart. It's despicable to do.
Wow. And see, in that Cage Cousins, see, for once in my life, I get to be the good guy.
Cage Cousins, this has been an absolute pleasure. Thank you very much. Hit us up with our comments, criticisms, any of your thoughts. If they're positive, we're going to respond to them. If we're negative, we're going to make fun of you and your mother. we'll be back next month. Check out the blog. Check us out on our network, Dream Podcast Network. We're going to be trying out some new channels this month. We're going to try to bring in some new energy. Thank you very much for your support. Everything you hear, see, feel, experience is brought to you by the great work of Regis Jefferson, Deshaun Davis at Dream Air Productions. I, myself, am the Sweet MBA. I am joined by...
the doctor, J.K. Ockhans.
We are Cage Against the Machine. Shout out to our missing members, Mikey Mo, the MC, and Brain Damage. And as always...
Chill!